each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. Hi, Tony, Christina, and Nick over there.
I think
we're in the end times?
Yes.
Yes, that's what I'm looking at the book you have there.
Oh, yeah, I was going to talk about this. The end of the present world. This was a book that was written, I think I mentioned it last week. Tuesday.
Oh, gosh. The time is flying.
When we say
TGIFT. Yeah. But, Christina, you used to say something on Thursday.
It's almost Friday.
Almost Friday, yeah.
Thank God it's almost Friday.
TGIAF. Thank God it's almost Friday.
It just came to my mind.
Yeah. Anyway, we're almost there.
We'll talk about this. Almost there, like where?
Somewhere over the rainbow.
The end is near.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. I started reading this book yesterday. So this was written by a priest, Father Charles Amillon from France. I don't know if I pronounced that name right. But St. Thérèse of Lisieux said reading this book was one of the greatest graces of my life. And it kind of set her on a trajectory as she moved into the Carmel.
That's one thing. I love when priests write books. I think this one in mind, this great book that I read, A Mother's Plea.
Oh, that's
you
right.
You think so?
Yeah, I'd love to read those. I have to reread that again.
Actually, I should reread that. The last chapter. The last chapter is the one that I... It's not on the level of this book, but... But
yeah,
it does.
It's
on the high level.
Speak of the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon, which actually the prelude into the show is taken
that's
from the
right.
book.
It's funny.
That's
maybe
right.
That's why I keep this need to want to read this marvelous book that I read.
Actually, I had a couple yesterday. They were coming for marriage prep. They have a priest. They're actually coming from outside the parish, but they have a priest who's going to do the marriage. But I'm doing the preparation and. They're from outside Chicago. I'm not sure where, but her father, she said, read the book and he didn't read the book. He said he wrote a book. I wanted to get that book, and so I happened to we still have some books left. Mm-hmm. I thought we've got more than I thought, and so I just gave it to her. But then her brother came in. This is the fiance, the groom and the fiance, and then the brother came in afterwards, to sign the witness paper and. Mm-hmm. And we had just a really, really long discussion, where it's interesting when you find people who see what you see, feel what you feel, and wonder, what's coming or what's down the pike or what's going on. Because you don't always have that, people are suspicious today. They're cautious, let me just say, maybe more cautious about what they say, to whom they say, because...
You feel like you're being watched or
heard
or that you're
somewhat crazy for, number one, keeping the faith,
That's right.
And yet there are more people, perhaps, than we realize.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, anyway, but let's begin with prayer, and then we'll take a dip into this book, The End of the Present World. I've only started reading, and I couldn't put it down. It was just so,
that's a good
even
sign.
Even the title is very intriguing. It catches your attention.
It is, yeah. And the fact that, read what St. Thérèse said about the book, perhaps we'll look at that too. So, but let's pray, everybody, in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Jesus,
I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us. Touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the dignity and the responsibility that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is a true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Stanislaus Kostka.
Pray for us.
Saint Michael, the Archangel.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So anyway, So you think you were at the end of the world, do you think?
It feels like it.
It's getting there.
But do you think about it, in any age, let me just kind of, let me do this. First of all, I want to see if I can find a quote from Saint Therese. Well, let me just read the back of the book. This was... So no lasting city, all things pass, glory fades, nature groans in labor. The day of the Lord is coming, and with it will come the end of the entire created order. And yet so many of us live with our eyes fixed on this passing world only, rather than on the everlasting world to come. Preoccupied with earthly pleasures and cares, we ignore our eternal destiny. This was no less true in the late 19th century when Father Charles Armignon, a priest from the mountains of southeastern France, assembled his flock in the town cathedral to preach a series of conferences to help them turn their thoughts away from this life's mean material affairs and toward the next life's glorious spiritual reward. His wise and uncompromising words deepened in them the spirit of recollection that all Christians must have, the abiding conviction that heavenly aims, not temporal enthusiasms, must guide everything we think, everything we say, and everything we do. When Father Armignon's conferences were later published in a book, many others were able to reap the same benefit, including 14-year-old Therese Martin, the future Saint Therese of Lisieux, then on the cusp of entering the Carmelite convent in Lisieux. Reading it, she says, plunged my soul into a happiness not of this world. Young Therese, filled with a sense of what God reserves for those who love him, and seeing that the eternal rewards had no proportion to the light sacrifices of life, copied out numerous passages and memorized them, repeating unceasingly the word of love burning in my heart. Now, the very book that so inspired the little flower is available for the first time in English. Let the pages of the end of the present world and the mysteries of the future life fill you with the same burning words of love, with the same ardent desire to know God above all created things that Saint Therese gained from them. Let them also enrich your understanding of certain teachings of the faith that can often seem so mysterious, even frightening. The signs that will precede the world's end, the coming of the Antichrist, and how to recognize him, the judgment and where it may send us, heaven, hell, purgatory, biblical end times prophecy, how to read it and not be deceived. Jesus commands us to be ever watchful for his return, and ever mindful that we have no lasting city on earth. The end of the present world and the mysteries of the future life is an invaluable aid to inculcating in your spirit that heavenly orientation without which true human happiness cannot be found in this world or the next. So that's kind of I am extremely tired today, I'm telling you. I'm just going nonstop. I say, there's fires burning all around me.
That's life, Father.
It is life. Yesterday I needed to hear this, but not that I'm able to practice it, but I heard a quote from St. John Vianney, pray and don't worry. It's certainly the message of Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, and I'm looking at it right here as I look at the image over there. Jesus, I trust in you. Put your trust in the Lord. What did Jesus say? Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow hasn't come. Today has evil sufficient for the day, or suffering sufficient for the day. And that is reality.
Yeah.
That is reality. But when you're in the midst of it, when you're in the fire, I feel like I'm in the fire all the time these days. I was just writing to somebody because I got a message of the new deanery and all that, and I thought, this is a good grief. You know, it means meetings and all that, and, you know, who's got the time for meetings? You know, if you want to support us, leave us be, let us do our ministry.
That's right.
It's just amazing. But I said right now, and I'm responding to this email, as I'm feeling like, you've probably seen this if I mention this, you people out there in Radio Land. I think I feel myself like I'm Luthy.
Luthy.
I'm Luthy. I'm Loopy Luthy.
Lucy
and Ethel on their first day in the chocolate factory.
I love that.
The conveyor belt.
The conveyor belt. That's how I feel today. How I've been feeling all this week. Because summer's over. I'm telling you right now, summer is over. And so everything is really.
Yeah.
Full speed ahead.
Full speed ahead, yeah.
But
of course.
But you know, so it's but you get that, you know, they're
you
in
feel
the,
that
they get their first day in the chocolate factory. That's that was, you know, they can't produce comedies like that.
It was clean, very clever.
But you think about that, just that image. And you're one of those people. I know that because I am the same way.
Right.
You don't want to stop. You keep going on, but there's a moment where sometimes you have to.
You've got to
stop.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm thinking of all the chocolate.
The chocolate.
Just going, and it's like,
right.
What do you do? We're conditioned, especially when you do multiple things at once, to keep going on. But sometimes you need that stop, that rest. And like you said, you hope in God I trust. In God I trust.
Well, this morning, I was in the chapel trying to get ready for the radio, and also with all these other things, it's a little bit of an exaggeration, but
there's certain things you have to be number one.
Well, I get things that are pressing on, you know, I've got a table full of, a desk full of stuff that has to be addressed, and it's just crazy, and I'm thinking to myself, and I'm saying this because I think many people, like you say, relate to it.
Yeah.
I'm saying to myself, is this the way life is supposed to be?
It's very stressful.
Was it like this before? With the technology and all that,
I want to say it's always been.
It's always
but
been.
There's different degrees.
Different
I think
degrees.
Now,
yeah.
You hear this. I hear this even from older people, or you hear it from younger people too. It's like you feel like every day is going faster and faster and faster. When you're a kid or young man, you don't really see that. But it seems that now, and you have younger people saying the same thing. Yeah, I've seen this. There's just so much. Your time can be split so many different ways, and a lot of people want to do many things.
Technology.
Exactly.
The internet, cell phones.
Yep.
I know we talk about it all the time, but I hear people talk. There's a lot of topics that just seem to be always in our face these days.
Too much information.
Too much information.
Yeah.
I know there are certain issues that we keep going over and over, you know, we keep grinding, but it's just because it's constantly there, and the power that they yield, certain ideologies and the like, and then again, you know, with the internet, you know, everybody has easy access to you.
Yeah.
And I know some people that just went into retreat this past weekend somewhere, and what they're doing is they're going to a whole detoxing from the internet, from cell phones. They can't take their cell phones or internet into
the
retreat.
And I have tried that. I have tried to just leave my phone and never touch. It's hard, and you don't realize you're in this because these little computers have all the information.
Yeah. Well, you're right, and I don't carry a phone with me, only when I have to.
It's good that you can do that.
But if you think we have all the comforts. We didn't have that, or people didn't. People didn't have the comforts. Everything was done. It was the hard labor.
But you had each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was more,
we've said this many times, but social media is supposed to connect the world. And it's really creating isolation and loneliness.
It's like a double-edged sword. If it's used the right way, and then who defines what the right way is? And there's just you're so dependent. It's like a drug.
It's a drug, yeah.
Yeah, and you could use. And when people say, "Oh no, you're crazy," think about trying to not touch your phone. And it's the hardest thing.
And you hit on something else: drugs.
Yeah.
That's another issue, drugs.
Yeah. I saw a woman walking her baby in a stroller, and she was on the phone the whole time, you know, and it just...
Yeah.
She wasn't walking her... She was walking the baby, but she also had a child next to her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know, what are you zoomed into?
What is your priority?
And this is everywhere. I mean, this has been for years already. I remember being in Italy, and I was on the trolley or the what do they call it? They don't call it the trolley, they call it the tram.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it was the tram. You got buses and trams and then the subway and all that, but I was often on the tram.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd watch from the window, and everybody, you know, as you're watching people walk, you know, into the sidewalks and in the city and all that, everybody's walking, but their focus is on the phone.
On the phone, like zombies, zombie land.
Yeah.
I see people doing that all the time. They're looking at their phone, and they're crossing the
street. Crossing the street. It's scary.
And believe it or not, there are people, and I know people like that, that they are aware, but I can't see doing that.
Well, you know,
it's scary.
You mentioned the addiction, and this is known as well, but they're even saying it's got an adverse health effect because it can cause brain cancer.
That's what they're saying.
And that is that people sleep with their phones. They sleep with the phone next to them.
Themselves. Right.
You probably do.
Angelica?
Yes, I do. I'm a culprit for that.
I'm
making a confession.
I
have nothing to hide.
Yeah, it's funny because there's somebody in my house that does that. Angelica, I don't want to mention names. I have now put my phone, you know, there too. And I'd say, wait a minute, no, I'm not doing this.
So really, you know, and I guess I'm the culprit too, because I depend on others being on the phone to inform me. So oftentimes I'll give Christine a call and say, hey, you know. She's got all the information.
And you know, Father, I never call you. I don't bothering you because I know you're busy. But if I do, it's because it's something that's like really important.
And that's the sad thing, too, because you know it. If you hear from Christina,
I'm the same way with certain people that call.
But you know that now that you mentioned, Tony, about people and Father, too, that when they're out on the bus or even crossing the street and they're on their phone, I'll never forget I was in the car at the stoplight, and this woman is crossing the street with her dog. She's walking the dog, or I should say the dog was walking her. She's on the phone, and she's crossing the street, and the dog was just looking around and looking at her like, hey, what are you doing?
She don't see the dog?
The dog was just like looking at her like, hello.
I was had a seminarian here, and this was going back before the pandemic, and he was either stopping in or whatever, but or maybe he was staying here on his way to somewhere, and we were in the kitchen, and you know, I live alone, but I'm not alone because I'm surrounded by people all day long, so I never feel alone. You know, I look forward to going to my room at the end of the day, and that's my little sanctuary, trying to have a conversation with him when it was disrupted constantly the point was he was constantly looking at the phone than listening to me.
Yeah.
And I find even on the computer, I do it because I do have a computer. I have to,
work.
The work. And so I have it on my desk, and I'll find, like, if, let's say Frank, the operations director, is in, I'm kind of looking, one eye on him and one eye on the computer, you know.
Looking at information at work,
But because we do have to, we got different sites we have to go
reports
to, you know, from the Archdiocese and all this kind of stuff. And I just, simpler times, and you had only a landline, and, you know, even if it was a party line, you know, whatever.
The party line.
You don't remember those days.
No, I see the black and white movies where you mentioned the party line, because that's way before my time.
So speaking of comedy, you know, we were talking about the I Love Lucy. which was just great. I thought it was one of the funniest shows as I was growing up, and even should really go back, and I'm sure there, you can get it somewhere.
MeTV.
But the other one was, what's her name, the telephone operator?
Yes.
Ernestine. Do you remember her?
I've seen...
Oh, very funny.
Yeah, programs.
Do you remember that from Laughing?
Oh, it's Laughing. Okay, yeah, I was trying to think of a word. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
She would dial the... she was when you had operators.
Connect
the thing. And she said, I can't
is
do it
Lily
in her voice.
Is Lily That's Lily
Tomlin. Lily Tomlin, yes, okay. Exactly. And she, is this the party to whom I'm speaking? But they were, I saw just recently some of her stuff, and it was really funny. I don't know, there's such nice humor this day and age. But anyway... But are these signs of the end times? I don't know.
I think it is, especially when you think of TV as back then.
Yeah.
What to now? Oh my gosh, so different. I mean, I think if somebody just came into the world right today, and without knowing what came before,
right,
they'd be totally.
They'd be shocked.
Shocked.
Well, you know, I tell you the truth, you know, and we look back on the 70s and we think, can you imagine this? We think those were what innocent times, you know, and of course that was after the sexual revolution.
Yeah.
People look back into the 60s or the 50s or, but anyway, going back to the 70s, so when I'm in Rochester, I'm able to. Because the TV has the old movies, some really classics, beautiful movies, TCM. Movies I've heard about that I'd never
Turner
seen.
Classics,
they're really, really good, yeah.
Turner Classics,
right. I like that. Yeah. Some of those are really, really good. But they also have, you can get some of the old sitcoms and all that, like Everybody Loves Raymond and The Golden Girls and Friends and Seinfeld. But I realized that even in, aside from Everyone Loves Raymond, because that was a pretty clean show, it seems to me.
Yeah.
That was a really decent comedy. But even Friends and Seinfeld or Maude or The Golden Girls, you could see already the seeds of the deterioration of morality were being sown in those sitcoms. And at the time, I wasn't aware of it. Or even Welcome Back, Kotter.
I mean, you look at some of that old stuff now, and I got to admit, I was the kid that was in front of the TV all those years.
Well,
And then you go back, when you especially, like MeTV, which I love, they have all the, but even some of the other things that, like, I think of the thing that comes to my mind, the A-Team. I loved watching the A-Team.
Never heard of it.
Oh,
Mr. T.
Oh, I never heard
of it. But the thing is, I look at it now, like I've seen, you know, episodes of it now, and I'm like, oh no, what did I like about this? You know, I mean, it's
well,
good.
I thought Seinfeld was, but did it only come on once a week, right?
It did.
Yeah, it only came once a week.
When you think about that, too, I thought it was
I like watching the Brady Bunch.
That was another one.
That was the Age of Innocence, really, wasn't it?
When
you go back to those.
Marsha.
But by the time you get into Maude, or
Golden Girls,
Friends, Seinfeld, which is, I think the Golden Girls were they the 70s or the 80s?
That was the 80s.
Golden Girls was the 70s, I think.
Was 70s?
Because
yeah,
then
the
Golden 80s. Girls, and then there was Maude. Maude
really?
Came.
Was that in the 70s
spin-off.
Or in the 80s?
I think that was the 70s.
I thought it was the 80s, because even the way they dressed, it was so 80s.
Let's
check
take
it,
a look.
Check
let's
it.
Check it.
Because what's
why don't we ask Google?
But if you go back, like you said, to the Brady Bunch.
I love the Brady Bunch.
That was...
Or Family Ties.
What was the... and so sad, you know, about what we found out about him, but Cosby.
Bill Cosby. The Cosby Show.
Yeah.
That was another thing I watched.
Well, I like the Jeffersons.
The Jeffersons
was funny.
You know, those were, that was, those were, I mean, you go back and there was a lot of innocence, and then it began to, the seeds for change were planted, and the creating man, father to be a buffoon or a clown or whatever.
Yeah. Because a lot of the black and white shows were very clean, and there was always a lesson.
that Leave It to Beaver.
You know, Father Knows Best. I think it was Father Knows Best.
Christina, yeah. You are right.
Yes, I told
1985
you.
1985 to 1992.
What's that?
The Golden Girls.
That would have been in the same time when Seinfeld and Friends and all that.
Yeah, right? I think, yeah. Well, I think Seinfeld was more like the 90s.
Seinfeld.
Yes, Seinfeld.
Because
I say Seinfeld, I don't know why.
The Golden Girls, I look at the way the dressing and all, that was so 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1985 to 1992.
Uh-huh. Anyway, it's very interesting.
But the times have changed so much.
The times they are changing.
I wish, you know. I sometimes tell my friends, I was born in the wrong time. I should have been born centuries ago.
No, you were born in this era for a purpose. You know, we all would like to, you know, the grass always looks greener on the other side,
doesn't,
you know.
Though.
I think of, you know, when we speak about the end times, you know, I think, okay, so many people think, oh, God, we must be in this apocalyptic age. I'm going to use a biblical word here. But then you wonder what people were thinking about during the First World War, this past century. You know, the past century, when you had millions upon millions exterminated, genocides and exterminations, and you had World War I, World War II. People must have thought at that time that they're...
I think of what people, like the people, the older generations that are still alive, what goes through their mind as they see what's going on in the world.
Well, I can't even imagine my
father... Does your mom say anything, father, or your dad? He must have said a lot.
You know, I tell you, my mom said something funny once. I happened to call home, you know, and she's kind of she's very gentle and... Yeah.
She reminds me of Mrs. Claus, I always say. Yeah.
She's 91, and she's got when I used to go home, it would always be this kind, you know, can you talk to your brother? Can you talk to your sister? I've got two brothers and five sisters, and she's always worrying about everybody.
Sure.
And, you know, mothers want everybody to get along, and everything was, you know, the family was gathered around food and all that kind of stuff, and you can tell, you know, because, you know, they're well fed, but as she's gotten older now, I would say, I think since my father died, not so long after that she just began to, it's almost like an acceptance of the fact that, okay, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. There's nothing I can do.
I have no control over it.
Just kind of be at peace and survive from one day to the next because of, you know, she's not really quite mobile. But so when I go down there, there's not too much talk about all the problems. It's just, mm-hmm. but she did say, she'll say things like, I don't know what the world's coming to, you know, but I did call home once and I said, how are things down there? And she said, I don't know. She said, everybody is turning gay down here. And it was just kind of funny to hear her say that, you know. You know, what did you ask, Christina?
No, you just answered the question. Oh. No, and remember that one time, this was years ago when I first started working, when your mom used to write,
right.
She'd send you mail, and it said the street where you grew up, and it was
Gay
Avenue. I'm like, oh.
Right. Yeah, at the time,
I know what
Happy Street.
Amen, Happy Street.
But see, this is the thing, it must be.
By the way, they're always asking about you, and they've got the rabbit that your mother sent them years ago. So she's always asking.
My mom always asks, "How's Father's mom?" I always pray. I mean, we're always praying for your family, of course. And I always look at the pictures that your
sister
and your sister. Yeah.
But you know, it must be interesting how older people see.
Yeah.
To change,
sure.
You know, you're not used to. There's so much that has gone on.
I'm old. You know, I'm 68.
Old.
I can't believe. I just can't compute that in my head that I'm 68
you're 40.
Years old.
You're 40.
Well, I'm almost gonna be 50. I can't believe.
Who?
Me.
I can't even.
Look, I'm not gonna throw my age out there either.
But I talk to others too, and we're all saying the same thing. You know how radically. The world has changed.
Yeah.
Just even that in the 33 years that I'm here at the, and I'm, what, September 1st, I'm 33 years here in this parish. Oh, yeah. And how different it is today. And yet there's nothing new under the sun, but But, you know, in every age, we've got to hear the call to conversion, to repent, yeah. and to set things right. And you get tired of speaking about that, because I do speak about that a lot. And I'm tired of speaking about that. But, and this coming Sunday is going to be the Watchman. And so I am going back to where I was 3 years ago on my message. But it's like, what do I see, you know? And I have to speak what I see, right. you know, in prayer and in the world. And this whole idea of listening, you know, the theme of this this synod on synodality, mm-hmm. the open wide the tent is a widen the tent, which is actually comes through in this book, by the way, but from a different perspective, I think, because there has to be a dialogue and to accompany and to listen and to include. Nobody should be excluded, but if you don't embrace the faith, if you outright reject what Jesus taught and the person of Christ as God who came to us in the flesh and redeemed us, then you exclude yourself, you know. We've talked about that before as well. But anyway, what I was going to say is this idea of listening. That's why I said, just leave us in peace. You know, let us do what we're ordained to do. Sure. What constitutes our ministry? Celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Listen to confessions. You know, inculcate, teach the children. Deal with people as you know. We're at crisis. We got a funeral that's coming in today, and you know, so these things are coming in. You know, the door's open. The tent's wide open. I mean, it's a widened tent. You know, nobody's being rejected. We're dealing with people where they're at and all that. So I don't get this. I don't know. I think, you know, somebody said that meetings are the devil's tool. We create meetings. And
it distractions.
It distracts us from what we're supposed to be doing.
You know, Father, going back to, you know, with the chocolate, the Lucy, yeah. how, you know, we're always, like, how you are, you're wired to work and work mm-hmm. and to, you're a fighter, you don't give up and to give, yeah. to do the, give up that good fight. And I always say, Lord, I, forgive me for not trusting you. You know, I always, Jesus, right. I trust in you. And I tell him all the time, I'm sorry that I'm always wanting, because our nature is to want to be in control. I'm a worrier. Right. And I said, but Lord, forgive me, because I should trust you. You know better than I do.
But isn't that kind of in our human nature?
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, so often we hear in the scriptures, you know, do not be afraid.
Yeah.
Again, I just mentioned, and this is one way among many ways that Jesus says, you know, don't worry about tomorrow. Look at the birds in the sky. Mm-hmm. I provide for the birds and the flowers of the field are beautifully adorned. And you're more important to me than the birds and the flowers. Mm-hmm. So why do you worry about tomorrow when tomorrow hasn't come and today has troubles sufficient for the day or evils sufficient for the day? I'm with you today. I'm going to get you through this day and I'll be with you tomorrow and I'll get you through tomorrow. Or you've got the image of the apostles in the boat, right? And they're being tossed by the wind. And Jesus, there's two images. One is Jesus is asleep in the hull of the boat. And so they're, you know, fearful that they're going to drown, that they're going to be, this boat is going to capsize. And they wake him up and he says, you know, wake up, you know, don't you know what's going on? I mean, well, you know, we're dying here. We're going to drown. And he says, you know, he just calms, at his command, the sea comes to a calm. And I think he says, you know, why? Where's your faith, you know? Or the other image with the boat is Jesus is walking in the water. They're in the apostles are there in the boat, and they're being again tossed by the storm. They're on the Sea of Galilee, and you know, very, very dark. It's about 3 a.m, I believe. And then they see what appears to be a ghost coming toward them on the water, so they become even more frightened. And Jesus says, it's me, you know. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come, and I will come. And he says, come, it is I. And Peter got out of the boat and began to walk, and he was doing fine until he felt the weight of the wind and that he's walking on the water, and he turns away. Once he turns away, he begins to sink, and he cries out, Lord, save me. And Jesus says, you know, oh man of little faith, you know, basically keep your eyes on me, you know, or extrapolating from Isaiah, you know, the water's not going to drown you, the fire's not going to burn you. And yet we know fire does burn and water does drown, right? But the point is that...
Father, that reminds me of that story where you were on the pilgrimage and there was that bus that was, you were going to fall off the cliff, and that woman said,
so funny,
oh, we got to pray. And she's like, and that other woman's like, prayer's not going to help. She was panicking.
That was so funny. Yeah, we were in France. It was a pilgrimage. That's had funny. About 45 people. And the young people were in the back of the bus. And so we were moving toward the little town of Santa Margarita.
Yeah.
Or Margarita, whatever in French. But it was, and so we had to go over this mountain. And the bus was making a turn, and it was a very sharp turn, so the bus had to back up.
Mm-hmm.
And as it was backing up, that was Holly and Becky, and not Becky Escalar, but Becky.
Another Southern Becky.
But listen, Holly, Becky, and I forget, there was a group of girls, and they always sat in the very back of the bus. Right. And they're looking out the window, and they start screaming, "Stop the bus! We're going over the cliff, you know." And that's what, and everybody in the bus began to panic. And the funny, the other part of the story is, I have to tell you, is when we went to France, Elizabeth, who was our, I was the spiritual director, and she was the tour guide, the tour person, got us the hotels and all that kind of stuff from Chicago. And and she said, "Now we're in France." She says, "Don't show the American flag. Don't keep the American flag hidden because they don't like Americans." That's what she said, you know.
Yeah.
And so, and certain things happened that made me think maybe they don't, you know. So we were. So when we got stuck, she said, come with me. And we got up and she got the American flag. And we went down the road, and she's waving the American flag,
goodness,
trying to get help. And all this is going on in the bus. I got back on the bus. People are in panic. And I remember Judy, Judy Brown. God bless her. You know her, yeah. She gets in the microphone and she says, "Everybody, let's just stop and just pray. And there was a voice that yelled out, "Prayer is not going to help us now." You know? And it was Genevieve.
That's funny.
The woman. And so I asked her after, I said, "What were you thinking?" She said, "I wasn't afraid of dying. I just didn't want to be maimed for life, you know." So anyway, but we all survived.
But it's funny how, as humans, like you said, that's our nature.
It's in our nature. And that's why we hear that over and over in the gospel, "Don't be afraid, don't be afraid, be at peace. I am here." I mean, there's so many examples of that.
Was this bus falling over?
It
looked like
it. You know how it is when if you're looking out the window and you don't see, the road, you only
you just see the
ravine.
Because, you never leave the bus.
Right.
Especially if you're sitting in the back.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like... So.
Anyway, it was we didn't really. We'll take a break. We'll come back in that. I'm going to read from this the book and about the end of the present world and the question is, and we're going to keep coming back to this because even as we get closer to November, hard to believe we're going to be
already
getting there. But end times and all that, and it's true. It's so true, people. You know, we've got to because really there's again nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And if we feel like we're in apocalyptic times, imagine people in their own day, in their own time,
mm-hmm.
and the things that they were going through with the wars and insurrections and plagues and all that kind of stuff. And again, you just go back to the past century when millions upon millions of people were put to death. Or you think of the apostles, you know, that they were, and Jesus says, "You're going to have trouble in this world, but have courage and be at peace. I've conquered the world. On account of my name, you're going to be hated." And they were all martyred. All but Judas Iscariot, who sold Jesus out, and John was imprisoned. He wasn't martyred, but he was imprisoned for having given witness to Jesus. He was imprisoned on the island of Patmos. So it's we don't know the day nor the hour, but you know, watch for the signs, and the signs are always there. But there will come, you know, every time we celebrate the Mass, every time we offer the Holy Mass, we're, if you listen close, we're anticipating the coming of Christ. And this comes through often during the course of the Mass. That's why we really got to keep our focus on what's happening, what's unfolding on the altar of sacrifice, and to hear the content of the prayer, which is, by the way, you know, as much as I love Latin, I do value the fact that the Mass is in the vernacular, because people can understand. But even if it were in Latin, in the old days, they had their prayer books, and they would follow the Mass in the language, their own language, whether it be French or whether it be English or Spanish or whatever. So anyway, well, don't go away. We'll be right back. And I want to read a little bit from this this book, and I'm just getting into it, and I'll be sharing this with you as we move along. So we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WSFI.
It is amazing to be living in a post-Roe v. Wade America, but our country racked up a body count of tens of millions under Roe. And still today, the body count continues to rise, and the vast majority of these babies never received a proper burial. That's what the 11th Annual National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children is all about. On Saturday, September 9th, on this special day, the Pro-Life Action League visits the burial places of aborted children at other memorials put up in their honor. And we solemnly pray for God to heal the deep wounds of abortion in our society. To find your nearest day of remembrance service, visit ProLifeActionLeague.org and click on the tile that says National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children 2023. The National Day of Remembrance for Aborted Children, Saturday, September 9th. Sometimes it's tough to hear Winds of Change over the air. What with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm a Father Anthony. I'm going to change. Really tired today, as you can tell my voice. I don't know if you can even understand what I'm saying. Tony and Christina.
We get it.
I'm tempted to just keep to, we were just talking on the break, some of these other sitcoms, but really when you think of it, you see the trajectory away from innocence to really pushing these ideologies that are in full force today.
Sure.
In a rather insidious way, you know.
Now I wonder today, you know, now we're talking about sitcoms and things. We see it, and I'm thinking about some of the sitcoms of you know, now.
I have no idea what goes on now.
It's not even worth it. It's
very
just,
different.
But you see it now. You see, I was saying to myself, what are the times of now? What do we see? And you see the bad things that are now. Yeah. So it's like TV hasn't really changed much.
Yeah.
You know the different errors or the different...
What I find interesting in our day and time is how gross and
what's
perverted
accepted.
And vulgar.
Yeah.
The vulgarity.
Even the language.
The language and even violence and the overt sexual stuff and all that.
That's, now, one may say, and I always hear this argument, it's a reflection of
the society.
Time, the society. And people don't, how do you go, you know, without showing the ugly side of things, which it's real. This is what it is.
Well, why do you have to watch it on the TV when you experience it? Let me, because we only got 10 minutes. I can't believe we spent all this time. But that's okay. We'll come back to this. But I want to see what I can read, and then we can just kind of leave you with some thoughts to ruminate over. But so this priest, Father Charles Amignon from France, writes, this is just an excerpt from the beginning of the book. This is page 21. He says, although Christ wanted to leave us ignorant of the exact time of the end of the world, he deemed it fitting to give us detailed information on the manner and circumstances of this great event. The end of the world, he says, will happen instantaneously and unexpectedly. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, quoting from Scripture. It will come at a time when the human race, sunk in the uttermost depths of indifference, will be far from thinking about punishment and justice. Divine mercy will have exhausted all its resources and means of action. The Antichrist will have appeared. Men over the whole surface of the earth will have been called to the knowledge of the truth. The Catholic Church will leave, blossomed out into the fullness of her life and fecundity for the last time. The Catholic Church will have blossomed out into the fullness of her life and fecundity for the last time. I have to go back to that. Nevertheless, all these superabundant favors and prodigies will once more vanish from the hearts and memory of man by a criminal force or abuse of graces. Mankind will have returned to its vomit, concentrating their affections and all their aspirations on the goods and gross pleasures of this world. They will, as the sacred books tell us, have turned their backs on God so far as to be unable to look up to heaven and remember its just judgments. All faith will be extinguished in hearts. All flesh will have corrupted its ways. Divine providence will judge that it is beyond remedy. As Christ says, it will be as in the days of Noah. As in the days of Noah. At that time, men lived without a care. Many plantations built luxurious houses, poked fun at the old fellow Noah as he set himself up as a carpenter and worked day and night building his ark. Madman, dreamer, they would say. This went on until the day when the flood came and engulfed the whole earth. The flood came and destroyed them all. Thus, the final catastrophe will take place when the world is at its most secure. Civilization will be at its zenith. Markets will be overflowing with money. Government stocks will never have been higher. There will be national celebrations, great exhibitions, and mankind wallowing in an unprecedented material prosperity will have ceased to hope for heaven. Crudely attached to the basest pleasures of life, men like the miser in the gospel will say, my soul, you possess goods to last for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. But suddenly, in the middle of the night, for it will be amidst the darkness, and at that fateful midnight hour, when the Lord once appeared in his lowliness, that he will appear again, men startled out of their sleep will hear a great clamor and noise, and a voice will be heard saying, behold, the groom is here, come out and greet him. In the annals of Savoy, The memory and tradition is preserved of an appalling catastrophe that presents us with the image and outline of what will happen when God abandons the human race and his patience is finally exhausted, or it's actually man abandoning God. It was hundreds of years ago, on November 24th, 1248, the eve of the day when the church celebrates the Feast of St. Catherine. That evening, the season was mild, the air calm, and the stars twinkled in the sky. The whole valley where the present town of Chambéry is situated lay quiet and secure. An evil irreligious man then ruled tyrannically over a town, now gone forever, but which at that time stood next to the city of my story. The man had gathered together a large number of merry companions with banquets and drunken revelry. He was celebrating the sacrilegious plunder of a monastery that he had turned to profane use. After mercilessly expelling the monks and holy inmates who were the legitimate owners, probably as in Balthasar's time, it was a sumptuous meal, and the wine and liqueurs mingled with the blasphemies and sardonic laughter flowed in abundance. Suddenly, in an instant, in the middle of the night, the earth was shaken by a tremendous shock. Sky and ground seemed to be shaken by horrible whirlwinds, voices and howling of storms, which you would have thought came from the caverns of hell. And before the guests could rise to their feet, before they could utter a cry for help, they were buried alive beneath the collapsing mass of a gigantic mountain. One town, five hamlets, and a whole region of 6,000 inhabitants were engulfed in chasms, the traces of which are written in indelible characters on the fragments of our souls and remain as an ineffaceable and living memory of mingled legend and horror in the minds of our people. This image, borrowed from one of the most memorable and dreadful events that have occurred in our history, is in one sense more vivid and striking than that of Noah and the flood. For at least in the time of Noah and the flood, men had time to collect their thoughts and obtain the grace of repentance before they perished, and the disaster struck only gradually. If all did not succeed in saving themselves for the present life, St. Peter tells us explicitly that the great number returned to God and saved themselves for the life to come. In St. Peter's first letter, he says that when the holy soul of Jesus Christ had been separated from his body, it was in the spirit also that he went to preach to the spirits in prisons they had disobeyed as long as Noah's day, while God patiently waited until the ark was built. On the day of judgment, however, it will be as described in the preceding story. It will happen with unparalleled promptness and violence. Christ tells us, if a man is on the roof surface, he must not come down to get anything out of his house. If a man is in the field, he must not turn back to pick up his cloak. It will be hard on pregnant or nursing mothers in those days. If anyone tells you, look, the Messiah is here or he is there, do not believe it. For as the lightning from the east flashes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. I'm sorry, I'm kind of tripping over words, but I really am tired today. And I don't know if that was what I wanted to read. But anyway, the point is, and we'll come back to this, but it's we've got to be prepared. The mm-hmm. point is we've got to be
vigilant.
We've got to be focused on the world to come. What uh-huh. is our destiny in order to be committed to the truth and to the work of this life? Not to go about, eat, drink, and be merry, for we know not the day when the Son of Man will come. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Peace.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide.